Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
I don't see anyone getting in touch saying we should follow the New Zealand rat catching competition model. Funny that, isn't it? I thought we'd be snowed under with text messages at this stage. Well, we'll stay on safer ground and talk about school uniforms now, because a new report published today recommends that schools take a more physical activity friendly approach when it comes to uniform policy. The report of the Youth Stakeholder Forum on Sports suggests that strict and inflexible uniform rules impede students' activity levels, especially amongst female students. Well, I'm joined now by Ray Silk, who's secondary school teacher of economics and business at Coláiste Ignáth in Galway and former Galway All-Ireland winning captain. Also, Craig Petrie, who's principal of East Glendalough School in Wicklow, and Anna Geary, former Cork Camogie captain and presenter of Why Girls Quit Sport. Thank you all for joining us. Ray, I'm going to start with you. Your own school there, what's the uniform policy?
Yeah, here in, it's known locally as Jez. We don't have a uniform at all. It's, well, you know, it's quite a liberal school, and the feeling strongly is that it allows students to have a freedom of expression. And just when I was coming onto the show there, I just canvassed them on my leaving cert, and it was mainly the girls that were very keen about not having a uniform. Excuse me, they were saying comfort of students. And one point they mentioned is that when there is no uniform, there's less friction and less discipline with teachers, whereas in one or two other schools in the city, that they have friends going to, you know, the uniform is a big deal. And the second one, which is an interesting point by one of the students, one of the top students I have, she just said, well, Ray, if we were in wearing a uniform and we go to study for 3 hours, you know, they study after school from 4:10 to maybe 7:30, 8:30, she said, you're putting somebody into a uniform for over 12 hours. So I've been in a few schools in an effort to get back to Galway City. Two had uniforms, two hadn't. And I suppose unless someone can produce some really strong research to tell me that learning and teaching is better in a school that has a uniform, then I don't really see the need for it.
Okay. Craig, your school has a different policy. You have a fairly strict uniform policy, do you?
We do. We have a uniform in the school here in Wicklow Town. And I suppose we've taken the line that if we want to have a uniform, we want to do it well. And so with the support of our parents and with the support of our students as well, although it's a discussion I think schools are going to be having now in the next little while, it is something that we have kept up. We had our battles with it over COVID, I suppose, in terms of taking a step back from being very strict on our uniform, and then have gone back to it successfully this year. It is something that we feel strongly. We want our students to prepare themselves well coming in the morning, to be seen well around the town, to be able to say that they are putting their best foot forward whenever they are coming to represent themselves in the school. It's not something, it's not a hill we're prepared to die on by any means, but as a school with a uniform, we want to do it well.
Ray, what do you say to all of that?
Yeah, look, there's an old expression, doctors differ and patients die. So, look, I was in a school that didn't have one, and it went to one. But look, Craig is he's principal of East Glendalough or wherever it is. If they want to go with that, that's fine. And if they have the support of the parents, fair enough. My view would be, I suppose, in what has become very much a less homogenous society, a lot of students might feel that comfortable in a uniform full day. And I suppose the research that we're looking at really, I suppose, is that strict school uniform hinders participation in sport. And I do understand that, I don't know if it's Craig, the co-ed, I think it is a co-ed school, but some girls, particularly going into PE, obviously at a particular time of the month as well, mightn't be comfortable taking off a full skirt, et cetera, to transfer into gym gear. Or maybe if they're cycling or walking to school, they mightn't feel comfortable. They might definitely feel cycling to school. So I just think things have changed, and I haven't had time to go into it, but where did the genesis of school uniforms come from? I would feel quite possibly in some schools anyway, it was clergy-related, and you know, we've gone much, much more away from that now. So if a school wants to have a school uniform, that's their choice. But here in Coláiste Ignáth, we would be very, very strong that they do not have a school uniform.
And Craig, do you find at all, or do you agree with the findings in this study, this report, that there's a possibility that school uniforms might hinder participation in sport?
I suppose we would see a huge amount of participation in sport here in the school. We're a small school, but we're across 5, 6, 7 different sports, boys and girls, and we've had a huge amount of participation and have maintained that the last few years. So we don't see that That being said, we haven't tried it with no uniform, so I can't say that we wouldn't have even more. And it's not something that, as I say, the school were completely wedded to. If this and the parent and student charter, which is coming down the road in the next couple of years, is going to give students even greater voice in this, the world is moving away from needing a shirt and tie when you leave school and go into an office situation. And I think our students are going to be making themselves heard on that in the next number of years. And I think as a country, probably, rather than just as individual schools, it's a conversation we need to be having and having with our students. Because if there is a sense, or if there is a barrier to student participation, for particularly girls getting involved or staying involved in sport in schools, then we need to take that away. If there's a barrier to students getting on a bike and coming into school instead of coming in a car, then again, that's something we need to look carefully at in terms of taking away. My own three fellas are in a primary school, and their uniform is, if I could get them into a pair of tracksuit bottoms, it would be great, but they will only wear shorts and a hoodie or a fleece. And that's the school one, but it means that they don't need to get changed.
Yeah, and Craig, it's the same in my house, and it just means that sport is a non-event almost. We don't have to have a special PE uniform. It just happens. It's a generic part of their day, and it feels much more natural for them to go out and play a game of football or run around the pitch or whatever. Yeah. Do you see my point?
No, I do, absolutely. And I think that that's something that we need to be thinking about. This is a broader conversation than that, though, because when we come back in, then are our kids going to be covered in muck when they get back into the class? Are they going to be able to access the other parts of the curriculum as well? This isn't necessarily that we can send everybody into school in a tracksuit, because not everybody's going to feel comfortable with that either. Mm-hmm. And then if we are talking about non-tracksuit, we're really talking about not a uniform.
Okay.
And if we're not in a uniform, do they need to be bringing in sports gear? So there's a lot of moving parts with this, and I'd hate to see us throw it all away for one solution that might suit fewer people as well.
Just before I bring in Anna, I have a message here, Ray, from Declan and Cavan, who says a school uniform is comparable to the team jersey. It engenders pride. Do you think there's anything in that? You know, as Craig was saying there, when they're out and about around the town, everyone knows that these students are from this particular school and they wear their uniform with pride.
Yeah, I take that point, and I think Declan from Cavan has made it well. But look, I have two boys here in first year, and you know, Claire, when they come in, one of the more Cullen jersey today because they won the county championship yesterday, and the other guy is wearing a school jersey, and one of them wore shorts because they've doubled first PE. I just think society's moving on, and you know, the tribe of wearing a school uniform does engender a bit of pride. But one of the schools I worked in now, I know because we played them recently. The boys that we played had a shirt, tie, jumper and a blazer. And that's the expectation in the school. And I wouldn't be in favour of that. I didn't have a school uniform when I went to school, but I don't think that leads to a positive bias. I think Craig hit the nail on the head that when you go into work now environment, my daughter went off there on work experience today, it's smart casual is the way to go in many regards. Now, I don't like the amount of tracksuits the students here wear. It's very unusual to see a boy wearing a pair of jeans, the girls in the leggings or whatever. And, you know, I would prefer it to be a little bit smarter. But if the 17 or 18-year-old or 19-year-old, some of the students in my class are 19 years of age, if they want to wear something else, it gives them that opportunity if they have a small bit of individuality of some player, or you might have a few, not here, maybe goths or mods or different things, it allows them to have that. So Declan's point does, for some students, it engenders pride, but I don't think that's a good enough reason to have students sitting in something that they may be uncomfortable about.
Right.
And going back to just before Anna comes in, the core function of a school is learning and teaching, learning. That's what we're about. And if the student's voice feeds into it, if I have a student who's more comfortable and I'm teaching him accounting or economics or business, and he's happier in a good, comfortable place, I think that's better than that he's sitting there feeling stifled by a tie up around his neck.
Yeah, that seems to make sense, logical sense. Anna Geary, listening to all of that, former Cork Camogie captain and presenter of Why Girls Quit Sport. Is it because they have to wear a school uniform sometimes, Anna?
Yeah, good morning, Claire. And there's some brilliant points we made there by Craig and Ray. And I suppose, really, for me, this is actually feeding into the wider attitude that we have in Ireland towards physical activity. And I think, you know, with everything you say yes to, well, then there's an opportunity cost of saying no to something else. So if you are saying yes to the stiff, rigid uniform, you are saying no then to the opportunity for younger people to move around more. Like the HSE daily physical activity guidelines are at least 60 minutes of moderate to vigorous exercise, at least per day. the vast majority of younger people aren't getting that. And if they're spending a large portion of their day in school, we should be facilitating movement in every opportunity possible. And if that means changing a uniform, well, I mean, I think we all should be in favour for that, because, I mean, we can't ignore the facts. The fact is that Ireland is one of the highest rates of childhood obesity in the world. Now, that's not just because of physical activity, but largely there is a massive, I suppose, obligation on us to get our physical activity within a day. And I just think, you know, if you're sitting, I can remember myself when I went to school, you know, the heavy woolen jumpers, the big thick skirts. I mean, you wouldn't want to move around and run around, you know, cartwheels or any of those things that we're expecting younger people to play and move at lunchtime. And yet they are restricted. Mm-hmm. I think even now with the cost of living, Claire, you know, having to have a separate PE gear and a uniform, I mean, even the cost involved in that. So I think if you can have some form of hybrid model, and I suppose on that, if you are creating a fit for purpose uniform going forward, making sure there is a fit for boys, but also a fit for girls. Because as teenage girls grow and develop, their hips get wider, waist gets smaller, their bums get bigger. It's just a natural development process. So if you're trying to fit into a uniform, a straight leg trousers that is designed for a boy, well, then you're not going to feel comfortable in that either. So these are conversations we need to be having. And I think it's brilliant that even Craig and Ray have different ways of coming at it. I'm sure lots of people have different ways of looking at this argument, but we have to make changes, because otherwise in 30 years time these teenagers are going to be adults, and if they're not having physical activity in their lives, there would be much bigger problems down the line.
Getting lots of messages on this, Anna and Ray and Craig. Uniforms can prevent bullying about wearing brands. Also, uniforms save parents money not having to buy new outfits all of the time. Ray, do you see that as a problem?
Yeah, look, I asked some students, and one of them did say, in some schools, bullying may be an issue, particularly if you've got a very different, diverse socioeconomic grouping. So Johnny comes in a Canadian Goose top or a Ralph Lauren or whatever the brands are, the expensive brands, and someone else comes in an inferior good, shall we say. But I can't argue against that. I think that's a very fair point. But I suppose that's where you're talking about holistic education, that the SPAG people, that the teachers help people not to engage in that type of behaviour. But like, I'm sitting in my car and across to me I see a 100,000 euro car. That person has more money than me. That's how life works. There's one thing I think, and I'm going to finish on this because I want Craig to come back in. When Anna's talking about obesity, etc., there was a stat that I had to lie down when I read it 2 weeks ago in the Irish Times, that 54%, and your listeners want to cop on if they're one of these people, 54% of all 9-year-olds have mobile phones in this country.
Yeah.
Over half the country and the parents have bought their 9-year-old a mobile phone. If you are that parent, you're just taking the easy way out. You're just saying, there's a phone, I want to read the paper, I want to go for a walk. Like, uniforms is one thing about obesity, fair enough, minor enough, I would say. But when you give a nine-year-old a mobile phone, I think that is just outrageous parenting.
Yeah, and it's a huge number, 54%. But Craig, just to bring it back to the uniforms, because we're focusing specifically on this report today, that schools take a more physical activity-friendly approach when it comes to their uniform policy. Do you find that it creates an equality across the board when your students are in their uniform?
We would. And again, we would have a diverse group of students coming from urban and rural settings, different socioeconomic settings. And there is a comfort of knowing for sure that you're coming in a standard uniform. There's also going to be teenagers, because teenagers are teenagers, who are going to rub up against that. And that's part of it. And that's part of our job as well, is educating for life as well as just being in here. For the students who will go into work and they'll be in casual or semi-casual clothes, for the students who are going to go in to be Gardaí, to be nurses or doctors, who are going to have those uniforms. But I think we would try to make sure that there is an equality across what our students can access. But again, and I'd really row in behind what Anna is saying as well, if there are things that we should be looking at or could be looking at to increase or maintain the participation in sport of our boys, and particularly our girls, then that's something that we need to be looking at. And that's us as a school, but it's us as a nationwide group of educators, whatever facilitates all teaching, right, and learning, as Ray says, but also the activity that our students need as a foundation for life.
You can say fairer than that. Craig Petrie and Ray Silk and also Anna Geary, thank you all for joining us on